And in the Gospel according to John, chapter 8 and at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here was this woman, taken in adultery, fearful perhaps for what men would do to her. And Jesus says, having said to her that her sins are forgiven, or that he didn't condemn her, I am the light of the world. It brings light to forgive. It brings light not to be condemned. How we shrink when we think we're a failure, and how we expand when we're not condemned, when we're accepted. And there is no acceptance like Jesus' own acceptance of us. I am the light of the world. We've already had in John 7, when the Lord said, come unto me, in the previous feast, cried out in the temple. And here again, he cries out in the temple on a different occasion, but with many people there, that he alone, there is no other light than his light. I am the light of the world. When we examine light in the Bible, it does mean two things. Everybody, of course, is familiar with light. And even if they're blind, they probably often think about it. Light is absolutely basic in human nature. But then it is always a picture of spiritual light and understanding. Jesus is light. He is in and of himself, in his Godhead, absolute light. He has been light in both senses, all from eternity, understanding all things, creating all things, seeing all things. His very existence is light. And this light of Jesus is channeled to every believer on him. And here Jesus is dealing particularly with being spiritual light of the world. Will you turn with me to the beginning of the Gospel of John, to chapter 1 and the beginning? I'm going to read the verses. I wanted them to be part of the sermon rather than reading them earlier. In the beginning was the Word, that's the Lord Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the meaning there is to set the scene. It is eternity. Nothing yet has begun. The being of God, Father, Son, is mentioned here, and it doesn't take many more verses before the Holy Spirit is mentioned. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the same Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the light of the world. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. That is to say, the pre-existent life of God, the eternal intrinsic life of God, before anything was made at all, was in him, gave him all the power to energize, to sustain, to keep. But in him was life. And the life was the light of man, referring to both sorts of light. And the light shineth in darkness, referring particularly here to creation. And the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehended means embraced it not. Darkness and light cannot abide together. And then verse 9, three verses about John the Baptist, then we return to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now this is the light of nature. Has to be, because not every man that cometh into the world is born again. So this light here talks about the first light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world when he took human flesh. The world was made by him. Here is the creator of the world, the Lord Jesus, entering into the world. And the world knew him not. Didn't recognize. So far removed from understanding who had made them. The ox knows his master's crib. But mankind didn't know Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. If we're thinking here of being born again, he came to the Jewish people, the special people. But here it's much wider reference. Mankind are his. Whatever else you say about not being born again, mankind has a responsibility towards God to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is creator. They only have their being, they only live, they only survive because of Christ. He is the light of the world. I thought you would enjoy just comparing that immediately with Genesis 1. In the beginning. So it's God has been there from before the beginning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth, when God created it, the Father, was without form and void, empty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Light had always been with God, but there was no people to know it. And there was no light anywhere in what became the earth. And God said, let there be light. That must be the Lord Jesus. He is the light of the world. He said, let there be light. His own intrinsic being, second person of the great Godhead, said, let there be light. And there was light. Absolutely foundational to our lives. Light was the first thing before any creature was ever made. Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light because he is light. And it was revealed to earth, though there were no people to understand it. God saw the light, that it was good. and God divided the light from the darkness. I didn't mention about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters, but you get the Trinity there in the first three verses, don't you? God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. So light is absolutely fundamental. Light, the light of life, of living naturally. And even among those who live naturally, light means understanding too. A blind person may understand, and we may say that that person has light. So in the scriptures and in our common understanding, you shed light upon a subject by opening up its meaning to somebody. Somebody is enlightened when they understand something that they never understood before. This is true of those who are not born again. It's true of ordinary life. We owe it to God. We see because of God. There are things to see because of God. And there are things to understand which is even greater than seeing. And that is the use of the word light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Thought you'd also like just to look at Isaiah, because Isaiah is wonderful on this subject. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. Here is the Father speaking about the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee because thou art righteous, meaning in righteousness. I will hold thine hand, quite invisibly, like it is with us. But the Father upheld Christ. He said so in the very chapter we read. He does those things which the Father desires that he and the Father are one. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and keep thee. Oh, thinking of the Lord's keeping is wonderful. Preservation. And give thee for a covenant of the people a promise. A promise engineered by God. For a light of the Gentiles. Now here, Christ is being spoken of as Saviour. There is a transition from the idea of ordinary light to the light of salvation. The same occurs in Isaiah chapter 9 and at verse 6. I don't mean Isaiah 9, verse 6. I mean Isaiah 9, verse 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, these were people who saw daylight. These were people who walked physically, but now they're here and going to hear the gospel. So now the shift is to spiritual light. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They've seen Christ. Many have believed in him. Mind you, that's being forecast 700 odd years before, but that's what's being said. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. They're alive, but they're dead. They walk in the shadow of death. They spend all their lifetime in fear of bondage, and they will die, and they'll die in their sins. Unless the light, spiritual light, shines upon them. As also Isaiah 60, but I won't delay on that just now. But Christ alone is spiritual light. There is no other life, there is no other salvation, there is no other way. This is one of the famous sayings, I am the light of the world. Jesus also said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are marvelous claims about his Godhead and about his unique being. And this passage contains exactly the same thing. Jesus says, I am. Without me, you will have spiritual darkness. And if you love light, and you know, understand how much better that is than being blind, it's infinitely more important to be saved than not to be saved. I am the light of the world. And also in John chapter 12, again, the Lord Jesus, but it's being spelt out in just the same way. John chapter 12 and the verse 36, well, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, is the light with you? Now, in the passage we read, Jesus said he was going to be with them in a little while. And he says he's the light of the world, but he doesn't put those things together. But here it is. Yet a little while is the light with you. He means himself. The world will still go on naturally with natural light, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. But he's now talking about spiritual understanding and spiritual light. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light. Now here is picture language. We know what it is like to walk in darkness. We even take out torches or lamps or lights or whatever if we're going out at night. I remember when I first came to Aldborough, I'd never as a Londoner knew such a thing as a torch or anything like that. Had no need of it, there were lights everywhere. And I tried to walk from Leiston to Aldborough, I think it was. I was coming back before I knew Vienna. And I kept falling in the ditch either side of the road. Sometimes it wasn't a ditch, I just fell over the side. But I had no idea without light of any sort where I was. I was wandering from side to side when I thought I was going straight. And we understand that people who are not saved live life like that. They don't know where they're going, and they move from one idea to another, they've no fixed. So yet, a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. So Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. My teaching is how to be saved. My teaching is how to have eternity. You are all fallen creatures, but the light comes from the glorious gospel, because your sin is my righteousness, which Isaiah spoke, and my death upon the cross, being perfectly God and perfectly man, brings salvation and bring light. But walk while I'm here with you. Now, he hadn't yet died. But there's no doubt that many, many people loved what he said, believed what he said, and of course when he died, believed all that that signified as well. That would follow that they would do that. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. I'm here. I won't be here to teach. I expect you've accompanied, you've observed the situation, that you get a good leader of a firm or of a school. And for some reason or another, the leader of that firm resigns or retires or leaves and goes for a head teacher. And somebody else comes on. And that person, we would use the expression, can't shine a candle on the one who's gone before. And the place goes downhill and it's not what it was. Now, Jesus is saying, I'm here. It's easier to turn to the gospel and believe while I'm here to be observed, while I'm here to see them, while you're here to see me and the miracles that I do which validate me. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness comes upon you. But that's eternally valid. The cry to all mankind, to those of us who are here, to those of us who are in the village but not here, all over the world, walk while ye have the light. While we are alive, we may seek the truth. And we may learn in seeking the truth to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't, or if we refuse to hear the gospel, darkness will come upon us. And just as it's a terrible mess to walk up a road where there's no light, if you don't know the road as well, very well, the eternal darkness of hell is the most terrible, terrible thing of all. It's the quality that there was before the world was made, except that God was always light, but it wasn't imparted to earth. And now that darkness will be permanent for those who do not believe in Christ, who die in their sins. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness comes upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light. Faith is required, trusting in the Lord Jesus. While ye have the light, while ye understand, while we have the light of life, let us trust in the gospel and prove ourselves to be children of light. So light here clearly refers to believing, the opening of the understanding. Jesus then spoke to those who'd seen this woman brought in, seen her restored, seen others go out in shame. And he preaches to them that he is the light. If he sends people out in shame, that is their eternal situation, finally. If he does not condemn somebody, they're never condemned. And he's preaching to this crowd that he is the light of life. He has the ultimate authority. What he says will never be changed. And they may themselves put their trust utterly in them. If any of them had been adulterers, if any of them had been robbers, if any of them had been liars, they too would not be condemned by Jesus if they trusted him. They turned to him. I am the light, he said, of the world. Now, the Jews were the Lord's special people, but in that sense, we could say they were a closed community. They despised the Samaritans. Oh, they were a funny lot, weren't they? When you read the history of the Samaritans, the people of all the different villages in Babylon or around Babylon come to this country, and they all worship their own gods that they used to worship. Then lions come and destroy many, so they appeal to the king and they say, send us a priest. Only one priest he sent, so that he could explain about the god of the land, because they believed that the god of that particular land was the one who blessed that land. And so when he came, they did both. They worship the god of the land, but they hung on to the gods that they'd worshipped before, their idolatry. So the Samaritans were the examples of mixed religion, of drawing a bit from one, drawing a bit from something else, and drawing a bit from something else. And because they had not got the core of the matter straight, they were despised by the Jewish people. And as you know, we've already had in John's Gospel, Jesus must needs go. through Samaria and opened the gospel to, beginning in one particular place, to that whole area. And also, of course, the Jews viewed the Gentiles as hopeless. I've mentioned to you before that even in many much later days, white Christians in America did not really believe that black Americans had a soul. So you can see the force of what Jesus is saying here. I'm the light of the world. I've created the world. I've made the whole world. My interest in salvation covers that whole area. And we know, of course, that there will be those saved from every generation, from every language, from every tribe, from every people. So the Lord says, I am the light of the world. It's no different which sense you live in, it's no different what country or culture you live in. I alone am the light. I, the Lord Jesus, who gave light as a foundation in that very first day, give light, spiritual light, spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding, the natural man can't always believe. He will say, I pray to somebody, a God, if there is a God. But that's not faith. You must believe that he is, if you need his blessing. And we begin there. And then the understanding of the gospel leads us on to see our own condition. And one of the things that follows from our own condition is we cannot plead that we will please God by the things we do. A believer may, because he's already saved, but we can't please God to get salvation by anything we do. And all these things are the light of life beginning to shine into an unredeemed soul. But only the Lord Jesus comes no other way. There is no other religious leader. There is no other claimant to religious instruction. Only the Lord Jesus and his message and his gospel and his grace, the kingdom of grace of which we sang earlier. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, anywhere, not just among the Jews, not just among the Samaritans, but the whole wide world of all times. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Well, there's a promise, there's a covenant of which Isaiah spoke. If you follow the Lord Jesus, if you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus, if you cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus, if you plead for the forgiveness of sins from the Lord Jesus, if you repent of your sins to the Lord Jesus, he that followeth me, whoever, shall not walk in darkness, but you are walking in darkness until then, but shall have the light of life, spiritual life. The light of this world is very wonderful. It surely eggs us on to want the light of eternity. The light that there is in the presence of God. The light that is so powerful that we couldn't endure that light. But we will be prepared in our new bodies to receive that light, to look at that light, to admire that light, to worship that light. The God who is light. We will not walk in darkness, but we shall have the light of life. And of course, the hell is darkness. That's just difficult to imagine. Walk in darkness. Blackness. It might be literal, but in any case, of course, it's the darkness of cruelty, the darkness of continuing habitual sin, the darkness of not trusting anybody else because they're thieves and robbers, and all these things for eternity, learning from one another to get worse, but maybe in the dark as well. But he that followeth the Lord Jesus Christ, throws himself or herself upon him, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He'll understand in this world. And the Lord Jesus will live with that person and be in the heart. He will be God with us, God with each one of us who believes. No longer shall we walk in the ways that did nothing but harm to us, whether we realized it or not. But we shall have the light of life, because Jesus is the light of life. Now, I thought that this morning I would just tarry with that verse, and the verse that I read we'll have another look at another time. But the beginning, the Lord Jesus made with the things that were made, was there when they were made, made them. He said, let there be light. And ever since then, there has been physical light. Everybody owes their being to that light. So we owe everything to Christ, even as mere created beings. But spiritually, the only way a fallen person in this world can be saved is through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, triumphant, opening our eyes to believe our own condition and the condition of the world. Jesus still speaking urgently to the crowd in the temple. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen.